Have you read or heard the news lately? Well, most of it is bad news, likely to leave you depressed rather than inspired. That's what you get these days on the evening news and other news media. The good news is that there is an alternative. Dr. William Porter has provided wholesome yet compelling stories about people's experiences that many consider unusual, extraordinary, or even miraculous. Dr. Porter is an author who has chronicled stories like these in several books he has written. These stories have come to life on the Storytelling Time radio broadcast. So be prepared to hear some good news for a change. Here is Dr. Porter with today's story.
Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Storytelling Time. My name is William Porter. Today's show is a special interview session, and I'm pleased to welcome back with us Mr. Thomas Wilson. Thomas, the last time you were with us, you talked about your business and the keys to being successful in any business or in life in general. In keeping with the season, this season of Thanksgiving, our purpose today will be on giving thanks for what we have as entrepreneurs, as well as people who have been blessed beyond measure. So the floor is yours, my friend, for the first segment. Then we will finish the program with a question and answer session on this subject.
Once again, I want to thank you, Dr. Porter, for having me on your show again and give me a chance to really speak to your audience. It's my pleasure to be here today. So as we move into the season, as you said, giving thanks is the theme of this conversation. But just segueing from last time, just to get our listeners up to date, what we spoke about entrepreneurism and how to really take your business to the next level and really how to focus yourself on being that embodiment that you choose to be an influence into the world. As we speak about giving thanks, first, I want our listeners to give thanks to themselves. For everybody that's listening to this message right now, I want you to keep in mind something. No matter what you've been through in life, you survive. No matter what obstacles you've had to overcome, you did it. So, but through the course of that, I want you to remember that you thought you would never make it out. I want you to remember the pitfalls that you was in and you felt like there was no more tomorrow. But let's take a look. You're here right now, listening to my voice. And I hope I bring value to this conversation as we get more in depth with what I'm about to approach. A lot of us want to be successful. But I think we have to define what success is for ourselves. What is success for you? Is it money? Is materialistic things? Is it giving back to your community? Is it giving back to your country? Is it giving to your family? I would say success is living up to your truest potential. Everybody understands whether or not they gave it their all or they took a day off. You see, at the end of the day, the only person that's accountable for you to giving your best is you. Are you giving your best version of yourself to your family? Are you giving your best version of yourself to your community? Are you giving yourself the best version of yourself to your career or your business? If you are, then you are truly successful. Only you can define your success. Stop looking at your life through the lens of somebody else. Nobody knows your true potential but you. That's why you feel down when you don't accomplish a task knowing that you could have done better. You see, in life, the first thing we must master is us. Until you master yourself, you're just going through the motion. Don't look at the next person's lawn and say it's greener over there because you don't know what that person is facing outside of what you're seeing. One of the augment of reality is this. We believe we see with our eyes, which is untrue. You see through your eyes. That vision that you internally see is really a reflection coming back to your mind. So as we progress into giving thanks, I want you to be thankful for the capability of making somebody else's life better. I want you to be thankful for the capability of progressing, of growth. See, each and every day we take a step forward into our future. Now, what's going to define you, your legacy, is if the future decision that you're making are from new experiences or you dragging your past into your future. Someone once said, you can't drive a car looking in your rear view. That's the same thing with life. You can't move forward into your future with past decisions. And so many of us are trapped by past decisions. And I'm going to segue to the Bible for a sec. The first five chapters of the Bible are based on the law. Us being relegated by the law that Moses were given, the Ten Commandments. Every chapter leading up to John spoke about the coming of Messiah. All the prophets, the Messiah is coming. The Messiah is coming. So what we're dealing with now is the message. So let me bring you up to speed. First, the law, which we were under because of the sin of Adam. Then came the message that the Messiah was coming to remove the law from us. Then, starting with John, when Jesus arrived, he said, I'm here. From that point on, no more are you governed by the law. No more did any prophet have to spread the message that the Messiah was coming, because he said, I'm here now. So I've come to remove any ordinance of the law. I have come, so there's no need any longer for you to talk about the Messiah's coming from a prophetic standpoint. Because I'm here to give you new life. I'm here so you can forget about your past, because I'm going to wash away everything that's taking place in your past. Not only am I going to take away everything that's taking place in your past, I'm also going to cleanse your present and your future. But here's the problem. So many of us, instead of using the past as a reference point for learning, we use the past to keep us locked up for our future. You know, one of the saddest things about somebody committing abortion or suicide is that they're not killing their past. They're killing the future. Why would you go through everything you went through in your past and abort your future? You've already been through the pain. You know, one of my mentors, Les Brown, said, when I fall down, I want to fall on my back, because if I can look up, I can get up. If you can see your future, why are you holding on to your past? And I'm going to take it back to biblical again. Peter in a boat. When Jesus got in that boat with Peter, in one hand, Peter was holding the net. The net symbolized his past. Fisherman of fish. Whereas Jesus in that boat symbolized his future. And in that time frame, in that sequential, that moment, he asked a very, very significant question. Right now, today, make a decision. Do you want your past or do you want your future? And that's exactly what I want to ask everybody listening to my voice right now. At what point in time are you going to be thankful for the things you have coming and not the things you think you lost? You see, we have to move from living in a life of lack. So many times the enemy deals with our circumstance because what he wants us to feel like is scarcity. There's not enough. When there's more than enough. There's more than enough for anything that you ever need in this world. That's why when God created the world, he created everything one time. He created it to reproduce itself. But everybody who functions with a lack mentality, they can never grow. Everybody who functions with a growth mentality wakes up to opportunity every day. So this is the main point. When I'm asked about what is it to be thankful for, I'm thankful for the opportunities of life. Each and every day means somebody different. Engaging in different conversations. Seeing new developments in the world. Relationships. Watching both my daughters grow up. Cherishing the family and the household that I have. I look forward to a brighter future. I look forward to an opportunity of my culture growing, my community growing. I look forward to being a true impact in the lives of everybody I touch. I'm thankful that God chose me to be a vessel to help others. And everybody, I hope, that's listening to my voice, understand that you are chosen for the same purpose. Nobody creates anything in this world without a reason for it. Everything is created in this world is a solution to somebody's problem. I want you to realize something. You are a solution to a problem. You serve a purpose. Since we're in the season of giving, I want you to think for a minute. When somebody gives you a present, they bring life to you. You're happy. I've never seen somebody got a present and wasn't happy about it. With that mind state, I want you to think about something else. You are a present to somebody. You are a gift. Because of you, somebody's life is made happier each and every day. Because of you, you bring joy to others. Because of you, somebody says, "Is another day is a goal that I want to reach because I'm watching what you have done." People are always watching, and you never know who you're blessing. Please consider how valuable you are. He knows the hair on your head. You was fearfully and marvelously made for a purpose. You was fearfully and marvelously made as a solution to somebody else's problem. So I want you to be great. I want you to step into your greatness. I want you to look deep down inside of yourself and see that kingdom that can't wait to come out and bless the world. And I want you to unleash that power into the world because we're waiting on you. New businesses, new companies, new corporations, new ideas, new thoughts, new products, new technology, newfound love. See, the greatest gift God gave us was love. And what we don't realize is that love came through the form of forgiveness. You say forgiveness? Well, let me touch that for a sec. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. How many of you would sacrifice your only child for people you did not know? See, that's the greatest love in the world, sacrifice. That's why you see a mother fight a lion for her child. That's why a father worked 10 jobs to support his family. Because we understand that being selfless is being selfful. You see, you got to love others as much as you love yourself. That's why he says only two commandments you need to remember. If you get these two right, you don't need anyone else. Love me, the Lord, with all your heart. And love thy neighbor as you love yourself. With that said, happy Thanksgiving.
We'll be back after a break. Welcome back. Thomas, you said a lot in that first segment that we can comment on, but let's keep it simple. And tell us why we all should be thankful, not only at this time of year, but for every day of the year.
Oh, man, I can easily start with just 20 million. 20 million, that number comes to my mind because that's 20 million slaves that died across the Atlantic Ocean to get into the U.S. 20 million people that sacrificed their life through the course of history for you to have this opportunity that you have today. So many of us don't realize what our ancestors went through for the privileges we have now, and that we need to pay homage for the mind state and the mindset they had and the fortitude to endure everything they went through. I'm grateful for the opportunities I have today, and I plan to take full advantage, because here's the key to that. Here's the key to that. Every generation should pave the way for the next generation to move further. So that's what I'm thankful for.
Well, I think we've established that we should offer thanks in everything we do. But let me ask you a challenging question, maybe even controversial. And I know you're in the entertainment business, which is the reason why I'm asking you this question in the first place. And that question is this. Should we be thankful for having the ability to enjoy our lives in everything we do, even if we go into some place like, say, a nightclub or some other place that might be considered as secular or worldly, as some believers believe, in fact, or are certain activities just off limits to those who believe, and I mean those who are Christians?
I'll say it like this. The law of allowing. See, a lot of us don't realize that that's a law. The law of allowing. And I'll take the biblical. Judge not, yet ye be judged. You have to allow everybody to function the way God has intended for them to function. So that means if I want to go to the nightclub and that's the way how I have my enjoyment, that's my option. If I want to go for movies, that's my option. If I want to stay at home, that's my option. Allow people to be the way they're supposed to be, because at the end of the day, only the Creator judges that. See, man focused too much on the exterior. That's earthly. God focused on the heart. Nobody's perfect. So I have no right to point a finger at my brother, and he has no right to point a finger at mine. Enjoy your life to the fullest, because you only have one life in this world as we know it.
Well, thank you. Thanks for that answer. A follow-up question is this. Could you make a distinction between the term secular, or what some people refer to as worldly, as opposed to spiritual or religious? In your mind, what is the distinction between those?
Well, most people would say secular world or worldly world. It's when people who are functioning of worldly things. Cars, you know, these things govern your actions, your thoughts, materialistic things, cars, houses. You know, you think of those things first, and you put your trust in these things. So therefore, you basically live how you want to, whether it's being adulterous, promiscuous, anything of that nature is right by you because it's acceptable by the world. Men want to do threesome, women want to do foursomes, you know, things of that nature. So you're really talking fleshly. So you're talking about your five senses govern all your decisions, and you're swayed by the weather. You know, one day the weather's good, one day the weather's bad, and you're moved that way. You know, you make decisions based on your emotions. Whereas from a spiritual standpoint, and I'm going to say spiritual, not religious, because religion, from my thought, is based on tradition. Spiritual is kingdom. And Christianity is supposed to be kingdom bound, not religious bound. If you really read the word in the book, you understand that Jesus taught in the synagogues, but it was the religious people that persecuted him. Even when Pontius Pilate wanted to free him because he found no fault in him. But it was a religious persecution that got the Roman crowd to go against him. I stay away from the religion part because I feel kingdom. And you say the kingdom is within you.
Okay. Well, another related question is this. Exactly how do we give thanks, in your opinion, and do we act in a certain way in order to show how thankful we are? Exactly how do we display our thankfulness?
First thing is forgiveness. Forgiving your debtors. Forgiving people who have trespassed against you. That's one thing I would say. The next is just unconditional love. Love everybody. Love yourself. And understand you're not perfect. You know, we're too hard on ourselves. Society paints an image of perfection when we're all full of imperfections. So you have to love every part of your imperfection. And just do right. I mean, you have to know if you're living and truly using all the God-given gifts and talents he gave you. Live that to the fullest. Maximize on it. Stop allowing other people to limit your life and what you can achieve. Get out your comfort zone. Get out into the community. Help somebody else become better. If you have 5 talents that you can bless other people by teaching and coaching and mentoring them for them to reach a higher level, then it's your job, it's your duty. To whom much is given, much is required.
Yeah, I'm thinking about this example that I've heard a lot, and that is if someone is hungry and you see that person, what should you do? Should you pray for that person, or should you offer him something to eat? And I think what you're saying is that you should offer that person something that will benefit them at the moment. In other words, something to eat. Of course, prayer is always good. But
yes.
In that way, you're acting and showing your thanks.
That's perfect that what you said. We all must understand the principles. Faith plus work. So I'm going to make it a little bit more practical. Information plus application. I'm going to give you the information you need at that point in time to better yourself. But I'm going to give you the action behind it by feeding you as well. We have to apply both at the same time. I can't just pray for you and not help you take those steps. I can't just give you food and leave you helpless, because then you're going to be in the same situation tomorrow. So I've got to break both at the same time.
Well, listen, we're about out of time. Do you have anything else you'd like to say before we leave?
I think, once again, thank you, Dr. Porter, for having me here today. Thank you for the listeners out there. And step up, live your life to your fullest. You have infinite power inside of you. You have infinite amount of gifts inside of you. You are limitless. This is the season to be thankful for God's grace and mercy that he has brought you through everything that you faced thus far. Be a blessing to others. Believe me when I tell you with all my heart and all my might, you reap what you sow. As you give, He'll pour back into you. Thank you.
And just briefly, mm-hmm. just tell people what you do and so that they'll have some idea as far as what your work is.
Well, that's easy. I'm a business coach. I'm a marketing strategist. And I'm a licensed financial professional. Now, most people use people to build a business. I use my business to build people. That's what I do. I build people to maximize on their potential and truly live the life they desire and operate from a mind state of abundancy, not lack. Iceberg Entertainment is one of my companies. Mogul Visions is another one of my company. G&W Trucking is another one of my company. I'm blessed. But at the core of everything I just said, I'm here to help others achieve their goal to success.
And you do work with quite a few people of note, I should say.
Yes, yes. From movie stars to entertainers to athletes to business moguls. I'm on several platforms where I speak to people. I'm a speaker with Les Brown. You name it, I do it. But at the end of the day, it's not about me. When I sit in front of a client, it's about them. It's really only three questions I need to ask you. What do you want? Why do you want it? And how do you think we can get there? You see, what most people don't realize what I just did, I just asked you your mission, your vision, and your purpose. But I said it a different way.
Well, thanks again, Thomas, for being with us today. And in closing, remember, there's always more good things coming your way.
Storytelling Time comes to you every week with exciting inspirational stories about people's experiences that are unusual, extraordinary, and sometimes miraculous. Why not join the fun? Yes, we can all add an extra dimension to our lives by reading about what others are going through. You'll be surprised to learn that their experiences are similar to some of your own. Today's story only includes portions of Dr. Porter's book, Heaven Can't Wait. Other details of the story could not be shared today because of the limitation of time. Why not read the whole account of the story? Just go to the website, williamporterlife.com, to receive information on how to order this book, as well as other books written by Dr. Porter. Yes, there's always more. More good news to read. Life in the Spirit. Miracles in the lives of ordinary people. Heaven Can't Wait, the sequel.